French President Emmanuel Macron's campaign, the target of Russian spies using phony Facebook accounts during his election earlier this year. Roughly two dozen fake Facebook personas were created by Russian intelligence in an attempt to spy on Macron campaign officials as he sought to defeat far-right nationalist Marine Le Pen and other opponents.
For North Korean hackers, it appears cash is king. A new report suggesting that state-sponsored cyber sleuths are more interested in stealing money these days than state secrets. The claims, part of a new report released by South Korea's Financial Security Institute. Its experts noticing a seismic shift in Pyongyang's hacking attacks, where banks in South Korea and abroad have become the main targets. A way of lining the regime's pockets under a chokehold of harsh international sanctions.
You've got to spend big to earn big. Amazon's ongoing strategy reflected in its second quarter earnings. Jeff Bezos' online behemoth raking in nearly $40 billion in the second quarter, but reporting a 77% drop in profit as the company invests heavily in warehouses, video content, and fast-growing economies such as India. It's planning a $14 billion takeover of upscale grocer Whole Foods, too.
WGN Radio's daily conversation about the life of business and the business of life. This is The Opening Bell with Steve Grzanich on 720 WGN.
Good morning, everyone. Welcome to the program. Today is Friday. It's July 28, 2017. 5:10 in the morning. We're glad you're here with us for our Friday edition of The Opening Bell. Lots coming up on the show today. How about virtual cocktails? Virtual reality cocktail experience. It's happening in Chicago and around the world. We'll bring in a guest to talk a little bit about that. Nice little Friday segue. Rick Sini is off today, by the way. He's on vacation this week, so we'll bring him back hopefully next week from vacation. In a minute, we'll bring in Paul Nolte as well for our regular Friday conversation about our portfolios and the economy. But first, let's begin with the big story of the morning. Opponents of the Republican drive to repeal Obamacare have dealt President Trump and GOP lawmakers a huge blow, rejecting a measure overnight to roll back parts of the Affordable Care Act. Unable to pass even a so-called skinny repeal, it is unclear now if Senate Republicans will be able to advance any health care bill, despite 7 years of promises to repeal Obama's signature legislation. At the end of a night of high suspense in the U.S. Capitol, Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell said this is clearly a disappointing moment. He also said after the early Friday vote, "I regret that our efforts were not enough this time." McConnell, he goes on to say it's time to move on. He then put the health bill on hold and announced the Senate would take up other legislation next week. One of the no votes, Senator John McCain of Arizona, joined Murkowski and Collins, two other Republicans, in voting no, and that killed the health care bill. We'll talk with Paul about this in a minute just to see how this might impact the rest of the Trump administration agenda and see if markets are reacting to this morning. We can do that now, too, with the WGN Associated Bank Market Desk. Futures are indeed pointing toward opening losses when the bell rings later on this morning. Dow futures are off 38 points. The NASDAQ futures are off 55. S&P futures down about 8 points this morning. In Asia, markets generally are lower as investors evaluated the latest raft of corporate earnings, including those from some tech stocks, which really had a poor day yesterday on Wall Street, weighed on overall investor sentiment. This morning in Asia, markets in Japan are lower by about 0.5%, 119. The Hang Seng off about 0.5% as well, down 151 points. In Europe, most of the indices are lower as well. The FTSE, the DAX, the CAC, all down by as much as 1.5%, 0.5% to 1.5%. Crude oil is at $49.10 a barrel, which is up just 0.1% this morning. It's Friday. That means it's our regular Friday conversation with Paul Nolte. He's a senior portfolio manager and SVP at Kingsview Asset Management in Chicago. Paul, good morning.
Good morning, Steve. Nice to be with you this morning.
Good to have you back. Happy Friday to you. I'm curious what your thoughts are after seeing a healthcare bill go down last night. Another hard time for lawmakers who eventually will have to deal with some agenda items, right?
We're hoping they're going to deal with taxes and get some of the legislation passed. It's going to be interesting to see how that all unfolds in light of the healthcare legislation going down. It As far as impacting the market, I'm not sure that it really does impact the market. I think the markets are really looking at the earnings numbers. Some of the stuff that came out from Amazon, as was highlighted earlier, hitting on the revenue number, but missing on the profit as Amazon takes the next step of continuing to invest in their business, which they have done historically.
Yeah, the Amazon story is the other really big story of the morning. Jeff Bezos went from the world's richest man earlier in the day back down to whatever is below that. Why should we focus on the revenue here, the revenue growth more than the miss?
Well, when you take a look at Amazon's earnings, they have never really earned much money in the what most analysts would look at as earnings. Because they take so much money and reinvest in new plants, new products, et cetera. So very little money falls to the bottom line. So, you know, for them to earn a dollar and a half is huge, and you're talking about a stock that's $1,000 a share. So from a P.E. multiple, you're looking at something that's, 500 times earnings, which is obscene. But they have grown their top line at a very, very fast rate. So, again, people are using it. We've talked about it in the past as far as the Amazon takeover of retail. So they are a very, very successful business, but they always have put a lot of money back into the business to continue to grow it.
Amazon came in at $37.96 billion in revenue. Wall Street's expectation was $37.18, so that wasn't bad there. Any other things that happened this week with earnings that caught your eye?
Well, you know, when you take a look at the earnings numbers and we look at how the stocks react to earnings, so Amazon is a good example. You know, they beat on the revenue side, missed a little bit on the earnings expected side, and the stock is getting hit pretty hard this morning. Boeing, McDonald's, both surprised a lot on the upside, and the stocks reacted positively to that news. Historically, we see a positive reaction when companies beat estimates or expectations. But they're not beating by much this time around, which is a little bit of a concern, and I think part of the reason why investors are starting to get a little skittish about the markets here, and we've seen generally a sideways market over the last couple of weeks as we've gone through earnings season. Earnings season's been better than expected. A lot of companies are reporting better than expected earnings and revenue numbers, but the stock reactions are not nearly as positive as they have been.
Yeah, it's kind of odd, too, that you would think that it would be just the opposite of what you described, that if a company does well, their stock should really climb pretty good, but the beatdown should be just as dramatic, I guess, right?
Well, historically, that's been the case, but I think what's been happening is investors have been bidding up the stock prices in advance of the good news. So on Wall Street, it's buy the rumor, sell the news. So investors have been buying the rumor that earnings are going to be good. When they do come in, investors have been taking profits here.
From ABC News, Wall Street Now, another record high for the Dow Jones Industrial Average, some slippage for the NASDAQ and Standard & Poor's. The Dow picked up 85 points Thursday to close at 21,796. The NASDAQ back down 40 points to 6,382. The S&P was off 2.5. Forbes magazine says Amazon CEO Jeff Bezos became the world's richest person yesterday, but only for a few minutes. Shares in Amazon reached nearly $1,100 around noon before falling slightly, returning the world's richest title to Microsoft's Bill Gates. Japan is slapping emergency tariffs of 50% on imports of frozen beef, mainly from the United States. American producers stepped up their exports to Japan as the recovery from a long drought drove up prices. And the iPod Nano and iPod Shuffle have played their final notes for Apple. The company has discontinued sales of the two music players because most people store or stream their tunes on smartphones. Jim Ryan, ABC News.
You're listening to the opening bell on 720 WGN.
Good morning. Welcome back to the program, 522. Paul Nolte is here today, Senior Portfolio Manager at Kingsview Asset Management in Chicago. Paul, we got to see what the Fed was thinking or may have been thinking this week. After their meeting, they left interest rates alone, said they'll start unwinding some of their balance sheet. Any surprises of what from what you saw from the Fed statement?
You know, the big surprise was we thought they would be talking a little bit more about their balance sheet than they did. They kind of said they would begin the process relatively soon. whatever that means, but the expectations are that September for a possible beginning to unwind come the beginning of the year, maybe as early as December. But again, it's very open-ended and will depend on inflation numbers, economic growth, so we're left to sit and wait. And the reaction from the markets when the was released, the dollar sold off a little bit, bonds rallied very strongly, and interest rates came down. The reading by the markets were that the Fed is going to be on the sidelines for some time yet.
So we saw a couple of things also happen in this week right after that. Second quarter GDP forecast is up, this following that durable goods report, also trade and inventory data. We're seeing possibly some stronger economic data for the rest of the year.
A little bit. The durable goods order is certainly skewed by Boeing's aircraft orders from the Paris Air Show. Take that out as a one-time add, and the industrial production, the durable goods orders, kind of flat from last year. So, again, the economic data has been okay. And again, back to the GDP numbers, 2.5%, which is what we've been seeing for a long time. We're not yet even close to the 3% target. And the GDP number has come down from 4% much earlier this year, as far as an estimate goes, down to about that 2-2.5% range. So as we've gotten closer to the actual release of the data, estimates continue to come down for overall economic growth.
Yeah, and I bring that up because that's something that the Fed will be watching very closely. I've seen a couple of people this week say they think they're done raising rates completely for this year.
And that's been our estimate. With the most recent rate hike, the Fed is likely to stay on the sidelines. The most interesting part for us is dealing with the balance sheet, but they've punted on that, so we really don't know anything more. We'll have to wait till September to see what the Fed decides to do, if anything, with their balance sheet, because that is going to be the next big thing to tackle for the Fed.
For our portfolios, you're still liking those international and technology stocks.
We do. Even with the tech sell-off here today, we're getting a little bit concerned because the reaction has been so negative. But technology has done very well so far this year, and we've taken a little bit of chips off the table in that sector. But the international markets continue to do very well as the dollar declines, and we see better economic growth, especially from China and India. So the emerging market part of the international markets are very good at this point, and I think we'll continue with some bumps along the way, but I think we'll see probably another 2 to 3 years where international markets do better than the U.S. market. So we think international investing certainly is back after about a 5 to 6 year hiatus.
Well, it's hard to believe we're almost in August already. Time to start thinking about third and fourth quarter. Fourth quarter especially. Paul, anything going on with you for the weekend?
Oh, we're going to run away and get a little bit of fishing in for the for next week, do a little vacation, and hopefully catch some very large fish in northern Wisconsin.
Very good. Watch out for the mosquitoes.
Always.
All right. See you next week.
Thank you.
All
take
right.
care.
Thanks, Paul. Paul Nolte of Kingsview Asset Management in Chicago. He's Senior Portfolio Manager and SVP there. Kingsview.com online.
WGN Radio's daily conversation about the life of business and the business of life. This is The Opening Bell with Steve Grzanich on 720 WGN.
Good morning, everyone. I'm Steve Grzanich. Glad you're here with us on our Friday edition of the program. It is 5:38, and how about a virtual reality cocktail? Chicago restaurant has launched just such a thing using the Oculus headset. It's an experience that we wanted to bring more information about to you because we're wondering what it's like too. Ashok Selvam is a writer with the Chicago Eater, and he's with us this morning. Ashok, good morning. Welcome to the Opening Bell.
Good morning, Steve.
So we're curious, how does this, first of all, maybe you could describe, because the photograph that we see is a guy sitting at a table with some dry ice smoking around him and some really nice cocktails wearing a headset. What is this experience and why are they doing it?
Well, that's a really beautiful stock image that we ran with the story. So let me describe it a little further. It is a kind of a partnership with McKellen and Baptist and Bottle. That's the restaurant in the Conrad Chicago downtown. In front of the customer, you'll see a couple of flasks of different types of McKellen liquor. You got some sherry, you got some scotch, and then there's some aromatics to while the customer is kind of under the headset exploring the distillery, exploring the McKellen house. That just kind of adds to the immersion, to pretend that they are actually to accentuate the experience. Now the photo is a little bit of an embellishment. The cocktail is not ready until after the customer comes out of that. The staff is supposed to mix it up right there, and it's just supposed to kind of give them the impression that we are experiencing something special, that we are doing something that justifies the $95 price tag.
Well, and also, too, to sort of celebrate the age, perhaps, of the cocktail. I mean, I know there's some 30-year-old scotch, that even older drinks than that. So it's part of that experience to sort of set up the person for what has been a long experience of that drink from the moment it started until it hits their mouth.
I mean, scotch companies have been doing this for years. You'll see them kind of offer free events to fans, like, oh, we'll have a free pours of our drink if you come into our event, just sign up here. And then they'll have a brand ambassador explain what makes their drink special. It's kind of those timeshare things that you signed up. If you're going to enjoy the space, you got to sit through the presentation.
Yeah, and I hope it's not that bad, because anybody who sat through one of those knows it's sort of you'd rather have surgery without anesthesia. But this must be different than that, because is it trying to draw on other senses too? I mean, do they try to play on your sense of smell and maybe your sense of taste or feel too? Because I know you write in your article that there's some moss and vegetation in a wooden box that this comes in.
Yes, I mean, the smell, like, well, you know, they have the images that are loaded onto a Google Pixel and then they're flashed through the Oculus headset. That's one. So that you got that immersive visual experience. At the same time, so they want to make you feel like you're walking around the forest. They want to make you feel like, the scotch goes that extra mile. There's some real care in preparing that, and that's what makes them a cut above. And also, you know, it's like, you know, I was talking to you about those timeshare presentations. That kind of approach really won't work with the younger consumer. Younger consumer wants something, or allegedly wants something that will appeal a little bit more to social media senses. They want to appeal to the so-called influencers, which is, by the way, a term that I kind of really abhor. So you pay, you plunk this money down. You're like, wow, I'm doing something so exclusive, and then I get to share them with my friends that are back home. Say I'm traveling to Chicago and I scheduled this special cocktail drink. I want to brag about it. So social media is the ideal venue for it. And McKellen and Baptist and Bottle really want to make use of that advantage.
So have you got a sense of how this is working out? First of all, the $95 part of this doesn't seem too high, because I know some of these drinks are pretty expensive, but how's it working out, and is there a future for this?
Well, they've been kind of testing it out for the past couple weeks at the restaurant, and kind of pulling it out for regulars. And in some cases, they haven't had it up 100% running. You know, they'd have the drink component on, but they wouldn't have the images loaded to the headset. So they would kind of like basically blindfold the consumer and have them just kind of try out before pulling out the bells and whistles. They haven't released any sales data. You know, restaurants really keep that close to the vest. But I would assume, $95, that's not a bad value. And you look at it, maybe for it's more expensive than a shot and a can of Pabst, of course.
Right.
But given the markup of regular liquor and the they're using the Bodegas Tradition 30-year Oloroso Sherry and the Rare Cask Scotch, you're probably coming up aces in the long run. Now, is there a future for this? I would say it's such a unique opportunity. And let me also pause that. Let's talk about Baptiste & Bottles beverage director, Michael Fothrop. He's one of the more talented guys around in Chicago. And this isn't just straight, like, I'm selling something. If there was not a creative endeavor, he wouldn't be doing it. But it's such, like I said, it's such a unique combination between him and McKellen as the brand ambassador. Yes, I do think that there could be more and more, but also you're not going to see this at your neighborhood tavern. This is at a luxury hotel. Richard Sandoval, the famous restaurateur, he's been on board at the restaurant. Sure, we'll see it from time to time, but as a regular occurrence, it's going to be a little bit more difficult to set up some arrangement like this.
And that's good to hear, because as we were preparing for the show today and the segment, we were all sort of hoping that this was not going to be what we might see when we go to the pub in the future, is that everybody's has Oculus glasses on and nobody's interacting with each other. They're all sort of in this virtual reality world. Is that too far-fetched to think that something like that might be coming, or is this space just seem to be anti-that?
This is a special, like I said, this is a special occasion. The neighborhood dive bar is struggling. I mean, we're seeing, I cover openings and closings around the bar world in Chicago, and you know, part of my soul kind of crumbles each time I have to write about a dive bar that closes. They're struggling because folks are on their cell phones and smartphones already, and it's not because they're there and not ordering. The theory right now among some bar owners is instead of actually having face-to-face conversation, folks are on their smartphones communicating via social media. That's when that's where the connections are happening, not at the bars. So is this another obstacle for the neighborhood dive bar? No. This is just more like another resource for upscale bars to charge the consumer to kind of give them it. If you have the extra $100 and want to have that bragging rights, come on in. We're open for business.
Yeah, are you seeing more and more bars? Bennett Wakenight, our producer here, as our discussion was going on before the show, also said that more and more the bars have on their chalkboard when you come in, no phones. We won't serve you if you have your phone out.
Yeah, it's that's something that you can really adds a distinction, like to have like a one-on-one eye-to-eye conversation without distraction. You got no phones. One of the things I always ask bar owners upon debuting a project is that they have TVs. More people are intimidated by TVs, especially if there's constant sports. That's a real turnoff to a lot of customers. So the no phones, that's just a natural evolution. Now, do I think it's a little bit of a grandstanding, a little bit peacocking? Yes. I mean, we've all been to, perhaps we've all had jobs where our boss says, no, you're not allowed to have you're not allowed to surf on the internet. Well, what happens when a worker is asked to do that? Well, they just grab their phone and they, kind of secretly log on the internet that way. Where there's a will and a way, maybe there's a little bit of a market for that. But I think it's just basically the old restaurant owners get angry and looking for a reason why their business isn't doing too well.
Ashok, good stuff. Thanks for being with us this morning here on The Opening Bell.
My pleasure.
All right. Ashok Selvam is a writer at Eater Chicago. You can follow them on Twitter, by the way, at Eater Chicago. And you can follow Ashok as well at Shock Diesel, S-H-O-K Diesel on Twitter.
You're listening to The Opening Bell on 720 WGN.
Good morning. Welcome back to the program on the WGN Associated Bank Market Desk. A little weakness in the markets this morning. Futures are pointing toward opening losses on Wall Street. Dow futures off about 42 points. NASDAQ futures are lower by about 53. Let's get the latest on commodities and agriculture now. Good morning, Orion Samuelson.
Good morning, Steve. You may find higher prices for your bread and baked goods later on this year at the supermarket, Steve, because the weather conditions in the spring wheat country of the Dakotas and Montana now being discovered from the standpoint of how much we have lost in the crop. It's crop tour time. And we do this every summer. We'll tour the wheat fields, and then later we'll tour corn and soybean fields. And this week, about 70 crop scouts from the milling and baking industries, along with government and university crop specialists, toured North Dakota to take a look at really what happened to the crop. Protein levels in the 2017 harvest of hard winter wheat, red winter wheat, the largest wheat class grown in the southern plains, below average for a second straight year. Consequently, millers may turn to higher priced spring wheat to meet their quality needs. But here's what the scouts on the tour found, sampling 225 fields overall on Wednesday, including 34 Durham wheat and 3 hard red winter wheat fields, and the average yield for Durham wheat that's used to make pasta, 34.4 bushels per acre, and that's down from 45.4 bushels back in 2016, and a 5-year average of 41 bushels. One scout said the early planted stuff looks the toughest, so be prepared for maybe some higher prices coming up in the baking industry later on this year, because that's the wheat that goes into the flour, as we said, for pasta, but for also for bread.
Drought conditions up there, are they getting any better, Orion?
At the moment, they're not really. They escaped the drought in the northeastern part of North Dakota. That part of the state did pretty well. But the rest of the state, along with South Dakota and Montana, also hit by the drought. So this one is pretty much wrapped for this year. So we'll start looking forward to next year. The other thing that I want to make note of is the hearings on the Farm Bill now, or the listening sessions, as they call them. And ranking chairman of the House Ag Committee, that's Mike Conaway, and the minority leader of the House Ag Committee is Colin Peterson from Minnesota, and they are going around the country holding hearings on, and listening sessions as to what farmers and ranchers want to see in the Farm Bill that should be written by the end of this year. And they've scheduled a listening session for the Farm Progress Show down at Decatur. That hearing will be held on August 30th at 9 a.m. in Decatur, Illinois, on the grounds of the Farm Progress Show. So farmers and ranchers who have something to say about what they'd like to see in the Farm Bill may want to be there for that. Of course, you'll want to be there for the Farm Progress Show. And have you been to a county fair yet, young man?
I have not. It's maybe the DuPage County Fair this weekend.
I was going to say, we've got the closest county fairs to the Chicago area this week. Through Sunday, we've got the Lake County Fair at Grays Lake, and we've got the DuPage County Fair at Wheaton, both on this week, and both easy trips. So get out there and get your corn dog and your ride on the Ferris wheel.
I've got a hankering for a corn dog, Orion.
Okay, right. Enjoy.
Have a great weekend. Orion Thank Samuelson you. With us this morning. Make sure you listen to The Morning Show with Orion and Max tomorrow morning at 5 o'clock right here on 720 WGN. Now on the WGN Associated Bank Market Desk Outlook for Friday, July 28th, the Bureau of Economic Analysis publishes advanced GDP data for the second quarter of 2017. Secretary of Agriculture Sonny Perdue will be in Mexico for bilateral meetings with the Secretary of Agriculture there. We're also hearing there'll be a joint news conference as well. Big day for earnings, continuing a big week for earnings. Merck and Company, American Airlines, and ExxonMobil Corporation. It is Baseball Hall of Fame weekend. The induction ceremony is on Sunday. And in Oshkosh, Wisconsin, the Experimental Aircraft Association Air Venture Apollo Day is today. As part of the annual fly-in convention, there will be a special commemoration of the 50th anniversary of the Apollo program. Buzz Aldrin from Apollo 11 will be there. Harrison Schmitt from Apollo 17. Frank Borman, Walt Cunningham, Fred Hayes, Jim Lovell, Al Warden. Apparently all those guys are going to be up there. What a day for that. Again, that's at the Experimental Aircraft Association Air Venture up in Oshkosh. Some of the things that could move the markets on this Friday, it's July 28th.